Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Radha Madhava Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Kunjabi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Krishna Hari Krishna 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 Hari Hari Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada 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 Nityai Gora Haribol 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 Nityai Gora Haribol 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 Gaura Premanandi Jayam Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivajakacharya Sutara Sata Sisimati Sivarangi Grace Sisi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrindaki Namacharya Sila Haridas Thakur ki Prayansi Kohosi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Sivasadi Gora Bhakta Vrindaki Sisi Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Chamakunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhanki Ganga Maeki Chamuna Maeki Tulasi Devi Maharani ki Gora Premanandi All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees all glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 14, text 13. 3.14.13. Purapita no Bhagavam. Daksho duhiti batsalaha. Kambrinita varambatsa. Iti aprichatat na prithatak. Na prithat. Purapita no Bhagavan. Daksho duhiti batsalaha. Kambrinita varambatsa. Iti aprichata na prithat. Na prithat. Okay, please chant. Anyway. Purapita na Bhagavan. Kambrinita varam patsa. Shia prichata na prithak. Purapita no Bhagavan. Daksho duhiti vatsalaham. Kambrinita varam vatsa. Ti aprichata na pritak. Purapita no Bhagavan. Daksho duhitir vatsalaham. Kambrinita varam vatsa. Iti prichita na pritak. Anybody else? Okay, so reading, we'll continue word by word translation. Please repeat after me. Pura, in days long ago. Pita, father. Na, our. Bhagavan, the most opulent. Daksha, daksha. Duhitir Batsalaha, affectionate to his daughters. Unto whom? Vrinita, you want to accept. Varam, your husband. Vatsaha, all my children. Iti, thus. Aprichata, inquired. Naha, us. Pritak, separately. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. In days long ago, our father, the most opulent Daksha, who was affectionate to his daughters, asked each of us separately whom we would prefer to select as our husband. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. It appears from this verse that free selection of a husband was allowed by the father, not by free association. The daughters were asked separately to submit their selection of a husband who was famous for his acts and personality. The ultimate selection depended on the choice of the father. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Utale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Adesatarine Om Magyanate Mirandasya Yanan Yena Shalakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Okay, so I guess we are continuing with the story from Diti, and is asking her husband Kashyapa for certain favors here But Srila Prabhupada was explaining earlier in previous purports that in the Vedic system, basically the action of asking for sexual intercourse or favor was basically for the procreation of children. It was never done for the actual enjoyment of the act itself. This is where the confusion is in the contemporary age, where people are thinking that this is, yeah, it's fun, we are going to enjoy ourselves doing this thing. But actually, the true thing, the true fact is that that relationship, that situation is always for the procreation of children. So now the question is, why? Why would the father have such a priority over the choice of the husband of a girl or a female or a woman who wants to be a mother? Why would the father have anything to do with that? Well, usually, let's put it this way, and I'll give you, we only have about 20 minutes before we have to go, since we have to go to class. But I've meditated on this verse for some time now after Mother Gaurangi Mataji gave me this assignment. So it would probably take me several hours or days to discuss this issue in depth, but I'll be as short as I can trying to explain to you this situation here. Okay. Now, in previous ages, as in days long ago, it says in the verse, it was the father who would make this the choice, basically, or basically would ask the, would say who the girl was going to marry. Nowadays, of course, things have become very complicated in contemporary life. So usually, in most communities, especially in churches, a woman and a man that want to get married, male, female, or boys and girls, they usually go to a premarital counselor. And that's actually something we are trying to establish here through the Devotee Care Program, to establish a premarital counseling for boys and girls that want to get married. Why? Because it is very complicated, actually. You know, marriage life is kind of, there are a lot of different circumstances why someone would want to marry another person. Number one, because you're going to have children. You're going to have a household life. You're going to be in the Grihastha ashram. So it's very important that you know who is this person that you are going to marry, what is like to be in that situation in the Grihastha ashram. Also because there are financial difficulties or situations. How are you going to live? How are you going to make money? How are you going to put a roof on your head? How are you going to bring food to the table? How are you going to raise the children? Where are they going to go to school? And so on. So there are many questions. And even when people agree to get married after that, after premarital counseling, there is always going to be some difficulty. You probably have experienced that in your own families where the father will say something and the mother will say something and they get into some kind of argument. It's natural. But usually in most situations or in most, in a lot of churches nowadays, and we also try to institute this here through Devotee Care, is that there should be a marriage counselor system so that the couples would be able to go to a counselor to get help and also to take what is called a Grihastha workshop so that you understand what it takes to be a father or a mother, how to raise children, and so on. Now, why? Why is this required? Well, I'll try to be concise. But basically, when you're born in this planet, you're going through life. We have discussed this in the past. And you are going from being a child to being an adult. And then you are going to be a senior eventually. So your time is going by. And so you will be of a certain size when you are 5 years old, and then a certain size and weight when you are, 15 or 25. So you are growing up in age. So at some point, there are also certain hormonal changes in your body, and then you're going to respond to that. So the natural way is to follow what is called, what Srila Prabhupada was trying to teach through the Varnashram Dharma system, which is that, you know, in the beginning you are just celibate monk or you are just a child, and then you grow up and so on. So most people, as a rule, will take up to the Grihastha ashram. So there has to be certain rules and regulations in order to get to the Grihastha ashram, because you want to come out of that Grihastha ashram to the point where you get to the retirement age, or when you are just in an old age, so that you can go back home, back to Godhead. And that's what we are trying to do here, is to learn certain principles, dharmic principles, so that we can go through life and not to get too far away from the goal. And the goal is to remember Krishna at all times. Back in the 60s, there was a movie that was made, and I watched it a couple of times, although it's a pretty slow movie. It was done by a Swedish filmmaker named Ingmar Bergman. And I don't know if you have ever watched this movie. It's called The Seventh Seal. And in The Seventh Seal, there is this middle-aged warrior that, or knight, that during the day he's fighting and doing his thing, and then at night he's playing chess with death. And death in the Western tradition is represented by a skull, like you know, like a death person with some kind of a chatter and a sickle. And they play chess. In our Vedic tradition, we say that you are basically playing chess with your false ego. I don't know if you play chess or not, but in chess, there are certain strategies that can, if you know these strategies, can give you an advantage over your opponent. So every one of us has an opponent, someone that is playing chess with us, that is has strategies in order to get us off the mark. And we are really actually playing with the fact that either we come back to this material world again or not. So there are certain strategies, and this is one of the strategies given to us by the Vedic literatures. One of them is to follow the rules of the Varnashram Dharma system. So if you follow these principles given to us in the Bhagavad Gita by Krishna, and actually that were given to us most recently by Srila Prabhupada in his Bhagavad Gita as it is, if you follow these rules of finding a spiritual master, rendering service unto him, pleasing the spiritual master, and also by doing service, association with devotees and so on, then you'll be farther ahead in this game of chess. So in chess there are different strategies. You know, there is the Sicilian defense, the changing of the rooks, the rook and the king, the exchange, or you can the insane queen sacrifice or the rook sacrifice. You know, there are different strategies by which you can kind of get ahead in the game with the opponent. So there are different strategies that you can use, and one of them is this Varnashram Dharma system, by which you can take this point, follow the principles of varnas and ashram. Stay within your varna, your profession, your what you have been educated to do, and then there is the ashram. In other words, you're from the Brahmachari ashram to the Grihastha ashram to the Vanaprastha ashram and to the sannyasi if you get there. So when you get to a certain age, usually somewhere around, in India it used to be around the age of 12, basically when you become a teenager, which is 8th, 9th grade, and then this is 10th grade, and then and so on, all the way up to college years, you're going to have that urge, that impulse that is basically natural to us. It's natural that we'll want to have children, we'll want to form a family, that you'll want to marry someone. So that's natural. This is going to come. And what it was done long ago was that the father would actually, it says here, the father would actually choose the husband for the daughter. But of course nowadays things, no one would accept that. Would anyone would accept, my father, what does my father know? I actually want to marry so-and-so. And we have like the story of Rukmini, right? Where he was going to be marrying Sisupal, but they told her, you got to marry Sisupal. But she said, no, I want to marry Krishna. So, in other words, a female, has something to say about this matter as well. But what we are saying in contemporary society is that if you have guidance through premarital counseling and through marriage counseling, you'll have more chances to get ahead in life and to win in this chess match against the false ego. It's just a strategy. And now the other thing that just came up to me, I'll leave that strategy by itself. We could talk about Varnashram Dharma for a long time here, but there was another strategy that I wanted to mention. Is that in combination with this one, this strategy of following the Varnashram Dharma system, in other words, when you get the impulse to get married, yes, you can go ahead, get married, connect with that person that you want to be your loved one and you want to have children with. That's correct. But very important that you follow the principles of the Bhagavad Gita. You still, number one, you got to find a spiritual teacher or a spiritual master or someone that can guide you through the process. And second, follow the other principles as well. But there are two, and I've heard Radhanath Maharaj saying several classes that gave on these two principles that will help you throughout your life when you are having this connection or relationship with another person. And that is that actually it is very well emphasized in the Buddhist tradition. Like in the Buddhists, their altars, they have two main columns that come out of the altar. It's the entrance to the altar of the Buddhist tradition. And those columns symbolize two virtues, two very important things that we need to cultivate. One is gratitude, and the other one is forgiveness. So the two columns if you go to a Buddhist temple, especially the old Buddhist temples, they'll have these two columns in front of the altar, and they symbolize gratitude. Well, if you are grateful for whatever happens in your life, grateful that you have food on your table, grateful that you have a roof over your head, you are grateful that you have friends. You are grateful that you are going to school, that you have wonderful teachers that are giving their life to help you, and that you are coming to this temple, beautiful temple, on Wednesdays and praying. So start with that. Be grateful. And the second one is forgiveness. If someone does anything wrong to you, don't take it serious. In other words, that forgive the person that has given you, done anything wrong to you. So if you start with these two principles of gratitude, if you marry someone and that person is helping you to raise this family life, then you are grateful for being in connection with this person. Krishna has sent this person to you. And number one. And number two, you forgive him or forgive her for whatever issues have arisen in your marital relationship. So that's another strategy that you can use in combination with the Varnashram Dharma strategy, so you can get ahead. Because the fact is that, Prabhupada is saying here in the purport, the daughters were asked separately to submit their selection of a husband who was famous for his acts and personality. The ultimate selection depended on the choice of the father, but that's not happening today. That you're not going to do that. The girls that we have here from the 8th, 9th, 10th grade and so on, as you're presenting this position, you're just not going to take whatever your father says that he's going to be your husband and you're going to marry with so-and-so. No. You're going to think, no, I'm attracted to this person. I want to have my life with this person. Therefore, you're going to have to make a choice. The choices, Prabhupada says here, depended on the choice of the father, but nowadays it really depends on the choice of the girl that wants to marry that husband. So in order to do that, what I'm saying is that there are strategies. If you're going to go that, regardless which route you go, if you go the route of the choice of the father or if you go by the choice of your own self, the choice still, you have to follow the strategy of Varnashram Dharma. You can never go wrong with that. And the second strategy is this strategy of gratitude and forgiveness. So because if you get into an argument with your spouse, then there is always a solution. There is a reason why. There is a reason why there has this argument. So then you have to discuss it. And you have to forgive for whatever was done wrong to you. So from the point of view of absolute love, and to get to prema, to develop a relationship of loving relationship with Krishna, we want to be at peace at all times. And definitely we will not achieve any peace if we get into an argument with our spouse or our significant other. So start by having peace with everyone around you. Anyway, any questions? We have about 3 or 4 minutes. Hope maybe you have some inquisitive questions that we can discuss. Any questions, everybody? Okay, question back there.
Thank you. You mentioned Rukmini as an example. Well, many times the girl had no choice, and even today in third world countries, she certainly didn't want to marry Shishupal, but her father didn't accept that she didn't, because the brother Rukmi was so influential, and they were going to go through and make her marry Shishupal, and only because she intervened and asked Krishna to come and kidnap her. So many times we see, for political reasons, right, somebody will even offer their daughter or sister, you know, to create alliance with another king or something like that. So this is very nice that Daksha is considering their request, but it's not always like that, is it?
Correct. Yes, in certain situations or circumstances, kind of a woman or girl is forced into that situation where they are forced into that position of accepting the husband that was given to them. But if we are following the Vedic principles, the principles of Vedic scripture, there is no excuse not to follow the principles. You still have to follow the strategies that we say, because there is no other choice, really. So if the father is living within the Vedic principles and is a devotee or is part of the Vaishnava group, basically has to submit to the principles that have been delineated by the scripture. And the number one is that you gotta find a spiritual teacher that can help you and guide you through this. Of course, in the situation of Rukmini, Mother Rukmini is different, because she was in love with Krishna, and Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, you know, it's like she could never go wrong on that. But regardless of who you choose, still you have to go through these principles of the Vedic system. And since fathers nowadays may not be so qualified, then it is up to the temple authorities and the churches to establish these principles of premarital counseling. There is actually a Grihastha Ashram workbook that you can follow. You can take a seminar. We have sponsored in the past here in Alachua itself a seminar for people that want to get married or couples, so that they can understand the principles, or how to overcome difficult situations. So either way, you need to follow certain principles, and they are already there. They have been put down on paper. You know, take one of these workshops and find out what it would take to be a husband or a wife. To have children, how you can raise the children, what are the issues and the problems that will come when you are in that stage of life. You know, don't think that you are by yourself on this. In other words, that if you think that you are by yourself, oh, I'm going to marry so-and-so, and I'm going to, we're going to take our chariot, and we are going to move to New York City, or we are going to move to Washington, D.C., and we are going to forget, that's where you're going to get into trouble. Your best position is to stay within the community, to develop loving relationships with other members of the community, especially with your teachers and your spiritual master, and that will help you. Otherwise, there will be difficulty along the way, for sure. Any other question? Well, I wish you a very nice and very happy life then. Hare Krishna. Hare Bol. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Bol.